Survivor Specialist Phil and Alexa are back with our Survivor 45 Episode 8 predictions and power rankings. And tonight we are joined for the first time in podcast history by Survivor 43's Sammy Liotti, who is wearing a Arizona Cardinals jersey for one of the few days that he's allowed to. He's so excited that the Cardinals won their, what, second game of the year that he is playing with a lighter. He is ready to go. Burn down the city, baby. They won a game. How you doing?
Grease Sam? Up the poles, man. Grease up the poles.
Grease the poles. Won a game.
Kyler Murray is back, okay? I'm doing pretty great. I, woke up this morning about 20 minutes before church. Went on ahead, went to church right after we woke up, and just been going ever since. Had a Costco trip in there. We're having a great day.
What a day. And got a Cardinals win out of it. Costco's pretty huge.
Cardinals win. Come on, man. At the end of the game, too, have you on the edge of your seat?
Mm-hmm. Now, the question is, when you went to Costco, did you get the $1.25 hot dog or no?
So good.
So.
Oh.
Unfortunately, I have been on this absolutely brutal weight cut. I'm trying to prepare myself for some kind of modeling because school's not going to do it for me. So I've been cutting a lot of weight. So the $1.25 hot dog, which did it? Did it used to be a dollar? Am I tripping?
I think it used to be a dollar.
So inflation's also hit the Costco food court, which is a bad sign.
No one
wanted to get a latte freeze, but they're out. That's the best thing at Costco. So that was.
I've never had one of those.
They are literally a 15 out of 10. They are so good.
What is it? Like an ice, like a.
It's a latte freeze. It's a freeze. It's a frozen latte. I mean, it is.
Oh, that sounds so good.
I don't even know how to describe it, but if you could bury me in it, I would appreciate it.
I'm sorry you didn't have a hot dog, but that sounds very exciting. That was a good call. Very good call.
I hope the modeling works out. I expect to see you on Fanatics and doing ads for, you know, at whatever season the latte freeze is going to be popular in. I hope you're doing modeling as well. So
could be right now. Email. I'll give my email out later.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say, be careful what you say on this podcast. You are going to get some strange emails. We love our fans. But, you know, we know about like 25 of the fans, and these videos get thousands of views. So you're going to get some weird messages, Sam.
It can't be weirder than the DMs that D is probably getting after this week. Mm-hmm. So, you know, take the win where you can.
Now, okay.
Amen.
No comment.
Yeah. Okay. So Sammy's got no comment on that. But I got to ask, because you watched that challenge just like we all did. Did D use her toes to win that, or was I hallucinating and her toes weren't even on that pole for most of the challenge?
I love the toe thing. I think it's hilarious. I think the foreshadowing of it and everything is hilarious and awesome. I will say, I feel as if having a decent understanding of gravity and weight distribution, she was not using her toes. And I don't know how long we saw her in that position where her legs were wrapped around the pole. There's a lot of time. There's 17 minutes. We only saw 5 of it. Maybe she did at some point, but for the entire duration of what we saw, D was hanging on, and it didn't look like for dear life. I feel like she could have gone for 3 hours.
Yeah, she was good. They did at the beginning. They had like a very gratuitous toe shot, and then immediately she went to that like position where like. She's pretty much like sideways on the pole. I feel like we haven't seen that. It looks really comfortable.
I don't see how the ridges would work. Like, I don't see that they would be. I don't think they'd be any more comfortable than just hanging, to be completely honest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So somebody had, I forget, I'm not going to give any credit to any Twitter account because I can't remember what they were, but somebody had posted the video of Parvati standing sideways. That infamous shot of her with half of her foot on the thing and she's standing sideways. The ridge is so much deeper back then. You had so much more room to fit toes inside of your foot and everything like that. They have definitely chiseled away less space for your toes. So I agree with you, Sammy. I think you're almost looking at like when Rupert had to do that one challenge where your foot's on the little circle thing and it gets smaller each step down you go.
Oh, yeah.
And Rupert's like huge foot was on that little tiny piece of wood. I feel like that's essentially what they're giving them right now. So I was being pretty hard on watching this last challenge. I was saying to my wife, like, Parvati did it for an hour and a half. These people are weak. But when you actually see the comparison, it's not the same challenge. This is so much more, so much less space, which I think does lead to more upper body strength. And D really impressed me because I knew Kelly was probably the strongest woman out there That's what I was thinking before this. I didn't really see it from D, and I think it's more impressive that she didn't use her toes, because she's got some sort of upper body, lower body strength that was coming out in this last episode, and my winner pick just keeps looking better and better and better.
I'm gonna be honest, man. Two things that are based on what you just said. The first thing is like, if I learned anything from this experience, show, whatever, it is the cover of the books that I try to judge people by, I will not do anymore by any aspect. Like, I learned it myself the hard way when we did this challenge in 43, like where there was a ball above our head and we had to hold this thing up. And if we let go of the tension, the ball drops. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to say that I am X amount of stronger than Carla or anything, but I do believe that if we walked into a bar and we asked people, hey, do you think this guy, Sammy, or this girl, Carla, who do you think would win an arm wrestling match? Mm-hmm. I would like to think most of the bets would come my way just based off appearance of I'm younger or what, like, I don't know. And yet I lost that challenge and would probably lose an arm wrestling match to Carla, even if she used her left hand. I probably would lose with my right hand if she used her left hand. She is such a beast, and that's how I felt about as far as the time thing of the challenges. I'm gonna be a new era advocate here. They have made everything so much more difficult, so much more challenging, to where like the dig deep means so much more now than it has before. And an example of that is 42, where they had the thing where Jonathan faced off against Lindsay, where you just hang right there. Christian went for 3 hours, right? Because you could like Christian and Alec, you could like move around a little bit. And then they changed it to where like you couldn't lean your back up against it, or you could something like that. And so I think they're trying to do that a lot more often now, to where like people are not going to be out there for 6 hours because it's just like draining the battery. Like,
well,
that's really subtle. I never noticed that.
And I think the reason that they're doing it was because back in the day when you were on a 3-day cycle, but think about like when Ian went against Tom in Palau, we're going way back. When you're on a 3-day cycle, you have more time for them to strategize, for them to do confessionals, for them to do whatever. And they want the challenges to go on for hours, because really that day they don't have anything else going on most of the time. So they're okay with, you know, them going and standing on a perch for however long. It doesn't matter. But now I think in the newer era, there's so much less time to get you on camera talking about your game, talking about who you're aligned with, going and searching for idols, doing all that stuff, that what they're doing is they need to shorten the immunity challenges, because a lot of times those immunity challenges are happening just hours before tribal council. Back in the day, that wasn't the case. Sometimes they would have a full day in between the immunity challenge and the tribal council. So they just don't have as much time anymore. And I think that's really what is what's playing into their decision to say, we can't afford to have all these people standing out here. I also think the crews are probably smaller. I mean, you think about the production cuts from COVID. It just makes sense. So yeah, you probably are doing harder challenges, Sammy. And that's the only compliment the new era is going to get from me.
Well, guess what? I'll take that, because then I can use that as an excuse as to why I never got to wear that necklace even once.
Dang.
So I will say, too, like from a game perspective, like with the challenges, like I get nervous still when I see something like when Reba went to I think it was Reba. They just recently, the most recent journey that happened, where Jay went with Austin. I think Reba was going to tribal, and Jay went with Austin and Kelly. Mm-hmm. I get like nervous, like somebody's going to tribal and they're going somewhere else. Like, and then you think about the fact that they just did a challenge before that. We're talking 2-3 hours to strategize. Like, I don't know about you guys, but if I knew I had 2 or 3 hours to, if I knew I was in some kind of trouble and I had a couple, 2-3 hours to like talk myself out of it, I need a little bit more time than that. So like that makes me a little nervous every time I see something like that.
Yeah. And I think that's something that kind of got missed a little bit. And I've been trying to harp on with Caleb's boot and everything. He had less than 24 hours between saving himself with a shot in the dark and going to tribal council. Like, that's insane.
No time to protect yourself.
That's insane. Yeah.
I mean, 100%. I mean, I personally don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves here and talk about everything, but like, I do think that that whole situation was literally like Caleb's story alone can kind of give people a decent idea of what playing the game of Survivor is like that have not gotten to play it or that will not get to play it. Mm-hmm. And that is that you turn the TV on and you see this height of this moment in one episode, and then literally the very next episode, it is the end of your journey. Like that, I think Caleb's story is a very, because a lot of times what happens is somebody will, you know, play an idol or something and they'll be safe and they'll go a couple more rounds before they face the jurisdiction of everybody else again, because usually you keep the threats around that made such big moves because you know that they're going to always be a safe option to fall back on. Mm-hmm. And that's what I thought was going to happen here with Caleb, but that's not the case. What happened here with Caleb was the roller coaster of this. It was going into the first time like this, then coming out like this, then mm-hmm. being on top of the world for a little bit, and then getting voted out mm-hmm. to the point where when he buried his hands in his face, I think a lot of America had that same sentiment because mm-hmm. it was such a fiery buildup to what was supposed to happen, to where, oh my gosh, this is going to be a 3-3 vote at a 10 split, and we're going to have another amazing tribal, and Caleb's going to get through by the skin of his teeth. And after this, who knows what could happen? The game's wide open. Mm-hmm. And then it just goes the way that I think it goes what was the more, I don't want to say it's a safer approach, but I want to say like the more logical approach.
Yeah.
Like what was
easy. Like the right approach, but you even heard like the music died. Like Caleb looked, it looks like he's staring at Keturah for like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
But
seriously, I got flashback. I like when he stared over at her, I love the way that the way that they edit the show is amazing. It's so amazing. Like the way that he stared at her, I got flashbacks of like when Jesse stared at Cody, when Cody stared at Jesse, like it was like that same thing to where I was like, wow, like really, like it set in right then and there, like that's it. So I thought we lost two amazing personalities on the last episode, but that's a lot to say with this cast because there's a lot of, oh my gosh, I'm excited to get into everybody. I think there's so much potential out there left. I don't know what's going to happen, man.
Mm-hmm. So now let me ask you then, since it was a point of contention, do you think Keturah made the right move? And what would you have done had you found out hours before tribal council that the people thought you were aligned with had been holding out information, massive information against you?
Yeah, so there was a big topic of discussion in the like Survivor universe, and I'm not gonna lie, I was part of that group that watched on TV, and I was in this bed right here, and I was watching on my little computer, and that it said, you know, whatever person voted out, and I literally said out loud, I was like, man, that shit is so lame. I don't know if I was I was like, that is so lame. And the more I got to thinking about it, the more I understood why Keturah had to do what she had to do. I think that the revelation that she was kind of everybody, this is Keturah, and everybody else is like this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That people were running circles around her at the other beach. I think that didn't sit right with her. And we also didn't get to see much of the discussions that she was having with Julie and Dee, which were probably half decent discussions. And so as far as did she make the right move, Keturah made the move that's going to keep her. Keturah made the move that kept her safe that night,
mm-hmm.
and she made the move that I think is going to piss less people off going into the future. So how can you look at it and see that it checks those two boxes and say that she didn't make the right move?
Yeah,
because at the end of the day, if Austin doesn't play scared, like Jake says, if he doesn't play scared, she could draw the wrong rock and she ends up going home. Yeah. And then we're sitting there and then everybody's going to be sitting here talking about the other side of it. I think what a lot of fans forget with Survivor is that just because it didn't go this way, did not mean that it was going to go the other way. Mm-hmm. Like let's say it goes to a tie. That does not mean that Austin's voting out Julie. That's not what that means. Mm-hmm. Like,
it means Jake Keturah and Jake Keturah and
Austin
are drawing rocks. Well, why would Katara ever put her position in, put herself in position to do that? Like, what does she have to lose by losing Caleb? Not really much, especially when, like you said, Sammy, the only one now that she's pissed off is Jake. And Jake's the one who has to scramble and explain to the Reba Four why he voted for Julie instead of voting out Caleb and what he was trying to pull. He's not trustworthy of them right now. So
it's tough, man. It's so tough. It's really tough, man.
And for Katara, either way, like she's in a tough position either way. So she may as well try something different and try to work with a new group of people. I think, you know, Bruce is going to have a lot of opinions about it, I'm sure. But Bruce clearly doesn't have the agency that he probably did like 5 episodes ago. Kelly and Kendra were willing to vote him out. So I think them, like Jake going back to them and saying like, hey, Katara like broke from us, I don't think that's going to like hit as hard because that group is already very fractured.
I agree. And I also, to that point really quickly, I just thought about the fact that like, I will say with as far as the actual plan, I love the plan. Like from Jake,
yeah,
I love the plan. And if it does work that way and Caleb goes back to the beach and Julie is gone, I think that none of us have to sit here and debate about how huge that would be, because I don't know if the vibes are there on the island, but the Reba Four are like, they are in this thing. They are in this thing. Like this is their game to lose at this point. And so, yes, that would have been an amazing move. But I think that not only the split makes it so difficult as well when you think about Katara's position and the decision that she had to make, because what you don't have is the confirmation on paper with words from other people that they're going to be okay with you doing this thing or you not doing this thing. Uh-huh. What I mean by that is when we split in my season and came back, I had Jesse, Cody, Cassidy all pissed at me for writing James's name down. All pissed at me simply because I wasn't able to run it through them before. Mm-hmm. When you're able to confirm with somebody before you can, like before you go to tribal and have their words on your like arm, like, hey, by the way, Kelly, you said that you wouldn't mind if Caleb went home tonight. Mm-hmm. Katara didn't have that.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
she had to make best with the decisions. As far as like a viewer perspective, I think we all wanted to see a little bit of a tie. You know,
it also doesn't help that Caleb was, I would say, the fan favorite of the season up to this point. He went to the most tribal councils. He barely survived so many times. He had the biggest moment of the season when he played the shot in the dark, negated all those votes. Super likable guy. You know, he's got that smile, man, that just makes America want to root for you. And I think that when you look at it from that perspective, it's him versus Julie, who I feel like we've gotten to know, but we don't know her nearly as well as we knew Caleb. She hasn't survived like what she's had to. And Katara, it's been so much about Bruce, 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 that I think at this point, no matter where you stand on the Bruce versus Katara side of things, I think a lot of people, casual fans, because I see on Twitter it's very popular, I think a lot of people are just kind of over that storyline being the storyline for now 7 straight episodes of TV. That's a long time. So I think that's why people are inclined to go against Katara. I said that on the podcast last week too. I was like, I'm so biased because I'm rooting for Bruce in that little battle. So I'm biased against Katara. So I don't know if she made the right move. Then once I thought about it, I said, she 100% made the right move because Caleb's dangerous. Caleb can go on to win the game. Caleb doesn't do you any good. And by voting out Caleb, you're not putting yourself in position to go home. Plus, everybody just lied to you. I think when Katara goes back, Kelly and Kendra have some explaining to do. Not so much Kendra, because Kendra wasn't actually on the island, but Kelly has some explaining to do, because why did Kelly never tell her about the idol?
Yeah. It's true. And to your point, like, I know we're going to talk about the chances of, you know, everybody that's still in the game right now. I just want to leave, you know, send Sifu is awesome too. I want to send Caleb's little ship off in one more thing and saying that like it doesn't do Katara any good. And I think that Caleb would be the first person, whether he wishes that it didn't happen or not, to agree that getting rid of him was the best move that they could have made, simply because Caleb knows how much of a threat he was to win this game. And I, for one, hope that we all get to see Caleb on my TV screen once more. I hope totally. So. I personally do. But to your point with Kelly having some explaining to do, It's very true. It's very true. And not only is Kelly going to have some explaining to do, Jake is going to have some explaining to do to Bruce about why he decided to tell. I can't wait. Let's get into these, man. There's a hierarchy of of people. I don't know how you guys do this. I'm just like talking. I'm sorry.
Tough, but this is the first like clean vote we're going to have in like a month. Yeah. Like this is it's a final 10. That's it. Every single person can be in trouble. Unlike the past few weeks, which it's like, it's always been a little tough.
It's so this sporadic. Is gonna
be an interesting one.
And I have to say, Alexa, you sounded very confident in that. Do not count out production to come in and throw in some bullshit here at Final 10.
I said that.
Alexa, you just
do you really think
it.
That there's not going to be something at this so-called auction that may or may not take somebody completely out of the tribal? Mm-hmm.
Guys, I feel good about the auction.
I feel great about it.
I think it's going to be nice and clean. I think it'll be fine. I think Jeff said this in the preseason, but there was the promo for it, and he like stabs this like bag of sand with a knife, which feels a bit dramatic, but I like it. And I think that's going to be like a timer. Like I think to like prevent people from like holding out on things, he's going to be like, we got 20 minutes. So mm-hmm. get your margarita if you want it. I think it's going to be great. And it looks like there might be some gross food too.
I know.
I'm so into it.
Bro, I used to watch Survivor auction clips to get hungry.
Yeah.
Like I would watch them. And like if I woke up in the morning and I was like, man, I gotta eat before school, but I want to eat. Let me turn on the Survivor auction. Let me see if there's a little bit of a spaghetti
good.
I could throw together. A little bit of a little steak and eggs, you know? It's all I care about.
Yeah, well, and I'm excited for the auction. I think it's going to be great. It looks like they have a scoreboard that's keeping track of things. I don't know what it means, but it was like behind Jeff's head I saw on Twitter.
Yeah,
today.
Like how much money there's. I can't tell. Yeah,
either what they've spent or what they have left. I couldn't tell, but
Austin had a lot more or less money than everyone else.
Yes, I did
Austin
see
had
that.
Like 600 and I everyone else that. Was like zero. 30,
he had
50.
Zero, which concerned me.
See, I didn't know this. I didn't know any of this, and I'm excited to see what I'm excited, man.
And I'm sure at the end of this, to gamify it, they will say that whoever ends up with the most money gets like 6 extra votes or something at tribal council so that they get to like solely dictate who goes home. But I'm excited. I think even if we get something crazy at the auction, which I think is definitely a possibility, we're still going to get a clean 10 people at tribal council. We're going to get everybody voting unless they lose a vote because they're going for some advantage or something. But we're not going to get a split. We're not going to have half of the cast be safe. I think it's going to be very one person is safe. Advantages are out there, but we're going to get a normal vote. And Alexi, to your point, because we had Sean quit, who went home after Sean? Well, Brando went home and that was a normal tribal council. So Brando's tribal council was normal. We haven't had many normal tribal councils this season because we had 2 quits and because we had, and the mergatory and then the final 12 split. So yeah, we're going
to. Well, and Jeff mentioned something on the podcast this last week about the very rare occasion that you have this many players at one tribal council, considering the split as well as the smaller tribes. And then by the time you get past the small tribes and the split, then you only have 10 people left. Then you only have 9. And so, like, it is going to be interesting to see, like, will the vote go 3 separate directions? Can it go – because this is the only time where it really can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we rank them 1 to 10. 1 means that's who you think is the safest, 2 so on and so forth, and then 10 is who you think is going home. We'll go 1 at a time. And, Sammy, we're going to put you on the spot first. So start with number 1. Who do you think is the safest this week?
If I were to see Kelly get voted out this next week, I would literally go to a sports book and put the most amount of money I can on the Arizona Cardinals winning the Super Bowl. Because that would prove to me that the most unexpected things in the world can happen. I do not think Kelly goes home this next week.
Sammy
is here.
Well, I have Kelly at number 1, and if she goes home, Sammy, I'll buy you a $1.25 hot dog from Costco.
There's
no way she's going home. Yeah. There's no way she's going home. She's running it. I completely agree.
I So I'm going to go a different route, and maybe it's because I don't know how to play from ahead, which I'm in second place in the power rankings right now. I don't have the full score updates for everybody else, but I'm in second place. And as a Lions fan, not a Cardinals fan, I actually have a good team this year, and we're 7-2, and I need Alexa to give me tips on how to handle a 7-2 team rather than a 2-8 team. Cause I can give you some tips right now, Alexa, but, but I am going with the safe route, and I'm taking D because I think right now the Reba 4 plus Emily is the strongest alliance in this game. And I think that the fact that they all survived last week and Sifu went home, they don't care that Sifu went home. They are definitely more concerned that Caleb would have still been in the game, but he's not. I think that's good. It definitely seemed like Bello was more willing to work with him. Also because Bello was the tribe that Caleb was swapped to. He was just with four other Bello people. So that made it easier. But I love the Reba 4. And I think that D is in the driver's seat of that alliance. Now, Jake did say, I want to weaken D. So I think it's popped up on Jake's radar.
Disarm her.
Yeah, disarm her. That it's time to get rid of D. But I had a theory, and I said it last week. Jake is tired of being told what to do. And even though it's the exact opposite of what happened on your season, Sammy, it is very similar, I think, to the storyline of Owen, where he was not being told at all what to do. And it's the same frustration of feeling like I'm going through this game and I know what needs to be done, but I can't make the move that I want to make that's ultimately going to have me win this game. And I think that right now he might see D as the biggest threat, but I don't know if he's going to be able to convince the Bellows, especially because I think that there's going to be some fallout with Katura over this whole situation. Mm-hmm. And the Bellows are now going to have to come together and figure out what they need to do. So I'm going to say the Reba 4 are in control. And my number one, therefore, is D, who I think is going to be the winner of this season. And if she goes home this week, I will not be putting any money on the Arizona Cardinals to win the Super Bowl. But I am confident that she is going to survive.
Well, okay. I respect that. I actually agree. We go number two, yeah?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
Your sentiment on Emily being involved. I have Emily at number two as the second safest going into this week. Based off the reasons you just said, I feel like Emily, we were talking about the butterfly thing. They said that on the show already, I think. That's what they compare her to, right? Like Caleb said she's like a butterfly. Or what did he say? He said she's like a – he nursed her back to full strength, essentially.
I don't remember this analogy. I can't even pretend I remember. I don't believe you, but I don't remember.
Bruce called him a butterfly, yeah.
I very well may be making all of this up, which is completely possible. But I think Emily just like – I think she formed a completely new path going forward, and I do think that she has complete sway – as being somebody that people are looking at right now, like, oh yeah, that's Emily. Like she's our fifth. Like when you go play basketball, you have five people. You're like, oh yeah, Emily's our fifth. Like she's our fifth player. Mm-hmm. She's our fifth. And then all of a sudden you get down to five people left and you're like, oh, well, she's okay. Well, everybody else, it's like, oh, Emily's still here. And then I think Emily's in a very good position to just dangerously go under everybody's radar. She's at my number two easily.
Yeah. Yeah, Emily, I keep saying that if Emily can keep this Reba 4 intact with her, she's going to the final three. Or at least she's going to be sitting there making fire in a worst case scenario because she breaks the tie at five. She wasn't even a thought
like of whether she was going to be voted out or not. Wasn't he like at the split, which is when it would have made the most sense, I think, right? I mean, it was – what do we have? We had Kelly, Bruce, Kendra, Drew, Sifu, Emily, right? Or, right? Did I say all of them?
Yeah, like, Emily was on that side. Yep.
Essentially, like, how do Drew and Sifu not lock it in along with Kendra, Kelly, and Bruce and say, let's just get rid of Emily? That makes the most sense. It wasn't even a thought. It was going to be Bruce before it was going to be Emily.
Yeah.
That speaks volumes to how good a position she's in right now.
Yeah, she's on nobody's radar. She really isn't. You think about episode one, she would have gone home. And now it's to the point where she is not on anyone's radar. And I think Drew wanted to defend her because I think Drew sees an ally in her later down the line. And I think he realizes that him and Austin, if it does come to blows with Dee and Julie, they've put in the work with Emily in a way that Dee and Julie haven't been able to. So I think that works in their favor. But the Bellows don't see her as a threat, and they haven't spent really much time with her at all. So I'm surprised, especially since Kendra was burned by Emily. Emily voted out Brando when Kendra thought that Emily was going to work with her. So mm-hmm. I'm surprised Emily's name's not coming up. I'm not upset about it in any way, shape, or form. I'm excited about it. I hope her name keeps not coming up. Good job, Emily. But yeah, I do. I just think that it is very interesting that it's not. So mm-hmm. I don't have her at number two, though, because I got to get through all my Reba people first. I got to crack my knuckles and just start ripping these people off. So Alexa, I'm going to jump in because I'm going to put Austin at two. Mm-hmm. So I have Dee and Austin as my 1-2. Last week, they had a chance to get Austin. Jake's plan made sense. Austin has an idol. It would have been a good time. But Austin has an idol. He's at Final 10. He's in what I think is the best alliance in the game. He's got Drew, who can just leave Tribal, which doesn't help him. But also, if Drew's leaving Tribal, Austin's going to pull out his idol. And I would be really shocked if at Final 10, this feels like a definitive – this feels like the definitive vote of this season. I would be shocked if the Reba 4 plus Emily turn on each other mm-hmm. when this is their chance to take the power. Because mm-hmm. I don't see all of Bellow teaming up and working together. There's five of them. But I don't see them all being able to work together and say, well, why don't we just bring Emily over and we'll vote out those other four. It's funny that right now we're doing the Reynolds and Eddie math of, well, we have a four-person alliance out of 10. We're doing great. It didn't work for Reynolds and Eddie. They ended up losing the two other people in their alliance because four is not a majority in 10. But on this season, it feels that way because the Bellow group just isn't tight. So I would be shocked if Austin went home with an idol in his pocket and with how many allies he has in the game, even if he is a massive, massive physical threat.
Yeah, I have Austin at 2 and Emily at 3. So to echo everything you guys said, Austin, I think, like, yes, he's a big threat, and it seems like people, like, he kind of shaded Drew. He's like, Drew doesn't even know that I have my full-fledged idol now. He has that. He's got the allies. He's a physical threat. But Jake, like, the way that Jake referred to Austin was he's playing scared, and that is not intimidating. And I think that's a good thing for Austin. Like, Jake is not afraid of him. Jake was like, let's use him because, like, he'll blink first. So I think whether or not that's the reality, I think the perception that Austin is not, like, running this is really good for him at this moment. And I agree with you on Emily, Sammy. I think her losing Caleb will maybe make her, like, even fade to the background a little bit. She's closer with the Reba guys, so she can vote with them. But also, she's a free agent, so if Bellow does get it together, she could totally try to, you know, work with one of them as well. She doesn't have, the only problem is she doesn't really have an ally now. Like, now she is a free agent wholeheartedly, which is good, but not.
I can tell you guys right now, being a free agent is only as fun as the day is long. Like, yeah. I can actually speak from experience in saying that unless there is a time and a place to be a free agent, and there is a time and a place to attach yourself to somebody. And I hope Emily can figure it out a lot better than I was able to, because I was having way too much fun being a free agent.
Now, let me ask you this, Sammy, because you have been out there and you can kind of see it from a different perspective. Do you think that her losing Caleb is going to be bad for her game? Do you think it's going to be good for her game, or do you think it's really not going to matter?
I believe that Emily was already facing the reality that she was going to lose Caleb. Like, she kind of like that scene was like, I was like, oh wow. Okay. Like, she kind of cut him off, so to speak, and like was ready to part ways with him. As far as whether it's good for her game or not, I think that I don't think it changes very much about her game, to be completely honest. Mm-hmm. I think it changes a lot about her sanity and a lot about her, like, comfortability with a lot of people on the island, just from what we've known about Emily and, like, her journey with, you know, understanding people as a whole. I think having Caleb there was probably a sense of comfort for her, and that somebody she could confide in and trust wholeheartedly. But as far as a game sense, I don't think that Emily needs help anymore. You know, I don't think that she needs the help that Caleb was providing her with to, like, temper her and, like, you know, hey, like, calm down. if anything, I think that Emily started becoming very much more valuable to Caleb in letting him know things. I mean, I'm sure she let him know about the shot in the dark, and she let him know that Sabaya was coming after him. And so I don't think this changes much about Emily's game, to be completely honest.
Yeah, that's pretty much where I'm at too. I just wanted to see what you thought, because I feel like Caleb going home, I didn't feel the significance of that loss for her. And I feel like I should have felt that significance because they've been together for so long, but I think she's got enough options. And I think that Caleb was a meat shield for everyone. He wasn't just a meat shield for her.
It was. So, I mean, Caleb's loss was that's a good way to put it, is that Caleb's loss was not hurtful for anybody in the game so much as it was hurtful for the fans of the show.
Yeah.
It was hurtful for the entertainment factor of this game. That's literally, but as far as everybody else, like, I think everybody else comes out completely okay moving forward. And like you said, I believe it's going to be sad for her to not see Caleb come back to the beach when they all meet together. But I think that that's going to give her that extra gear. Like, okay, it's me. I'm the last one standing from Luke. Like, let's go. So.
Yeah. Well, on that note, I'll put Kelly at number three, to segue completely confidently there. I'll just put Kelly at three. I do agree with both of you that she's in a good spot. The only way I could see her being in trouble is Keturah felt really close with Kelly. Everybody has felt really close with Kelly. How will she handle the first time that it's come out that she's willingly lied to someone?
Yeah.
Because I don't know if Jake threw her under the bus, but I do think if Keturah goes up to Kelly and says, "Did you know this?" it's going to catch her off guard. And I feel like she's going to have to tell Keturah that, yes, she did know. But how is that going to affect her game? I still have her at spot three. I think she's playing phenomenally. I think she's really good. And she like knows what's going on. She's got a finger on the pulse, you know, all that fun stuff. But I'm just concerned that Bruce's idol. It's funny because it's not Bruce. It's Bruce's idol that is ultimately going to be the downfall of Bello. And I think that we won't see it hurt Kelly yet. But this could be the reason why she can't string numbers together later in the game and ultimately go on to win. So that's my number three.
Yeah, that's a good point. This will be her first time, like, really dealing with adversity. Though I'm sure, like, she would consider, like, working with Bruce is that as well. But first time someone doesn't want to work with her or feels betrayed by her. So that's a really good point. I think, like, in the hierarchy, like, she would be most annoyed at Bruce, but actually she wouldn't, because the two of them, like, are very aware that they don't really like each other.
Yeah.
So good job.
Yeah. All right. Sammy,
I don't think that. Oh, go ahead. I don't know. I don't think that Bruce is. Are you talking about Keturah and Bruce are aware that they don't like?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought you were talking about Kelly Bruce. I was like, I don't know if Bruce.
Bruce all in.
Yeah.
Okay. So interestingly enough, I like this little order that it's kind of working out. So I have Julie at three and D at four, actually. I put the two in that order. Like I said, three and four, because they're kind of interchangeable, I think, as far as like who's safe and who's not. I put them on the same tier of safety. The reason I have Julie just one spot above D is simply because of what you said earlier about Jake, to where these perceptions start to build over the course of the game. And clearly, he does not have everybody on her side and seeing that Jake was trying to disarm her and get at Julie. Now, I understand how it might be a little confusing to have Julie above D, considering Julie was in a different world going to go home. Like, she may not even be a part of the game anymore. But the reason to have her above is simply because I don't know that anybody looks over at Mama Julie and sees a huge threat that we have to get rid of right away. And I think you could look right at D and see she just won immunity. She's clearly hilarious. Clearly she's hilarious. Like has a lot of charisma. Everybody on Survivor has charisma, but there's obviously some like little parts. People can hide it. Some people can hide it better than others. Some people can't. And I think that Dee's is a lot more outward than Julie's is. And so I think Julie is Julie and Dia are both in equally amazing positions, but I have Julie at three and Dia at four.
And it makes sense because, like you said, Jake was going after D, but D had immunity, so he couldn't go after D. He had to go after Julie to weaken D. He never said, I want to vote Julie out of the game because I'm worried Julie's going to win the game. He was going after Julie because D wasn't an option. So moving forward, it's not. I don't think we live in a world where Julie gets the same treatment Caleb just got. Okay, you survived this one, but now you go this week. There is no way Jake is going back and convincing the rest of Bello at a normal 10-person tribal that Julie is the number one target that needs to go home from this Reba tribe. Unless they're just concerned everybody has advantages, which at this point, two of the four do. I still think they would say, well, it's if D doesn't win immunity and Austin doesn't win immunity and Drew doesn't win immunity, we have to figure out how to get rid of one of them. Julie feels like a clear fourth in that system. I don't think it's a bad thing for her game in order for her to win. I just think at this point in the game, the older woman is never viewed as a threat. That's just that's just the nature of this game. So I have Julie at four, just behind Kelly.
All right, we're all in the same spot here. So I actually have Drew at four and I have Julie at five. Julie, I completely agree. I think she's very safe and she had her name written down and I know we haven't seen anything yet, but I don't think that's going to like cause her to alter too much. I think Jake owned up to it already. Like, I feel like we never see that. He already said it at Tribal Council. So he's already like feeling bad about it. So she's sort of in that power position now. And she's also probably the least intimidating of those four, which I think is really great for her. The reason that I've drew a little bit higher is one, he has the safety of that power, which I think is great. But he was also in a situation where he probably should have had his name come up at least in the breakout that he was on. And people were working with him. He was throwing out names and nobody even batted an eyelash. So I think Drew is also in a very good position. But I think this Reba 4 is rock solid.
It's crazy that Drew seemed to be in control of what was going on a tribe when he should have been the target. Like right. he should have been the person targeted. Sammy, what are they not seeing from Drew right now? Like, how does that happen? You were talking about they should be looking at Kelly or Emily. I'm sorry. Why were they not looking at Drew when there's still so many Rebas left in the game and he's clearly in tighter than Sifu is with everybody?
I genuinely believe we're in that stage of the game where it just becomes these people. Let's remember, they just met each other still. Yeah. I mean, we're still trying to feel everything out. And so I think that we're genuinely still at that point in the game where we're pushing dominoes over, but we're going to push them over this way. We're not going to tip them this way. We're going to go this way. Like, we're going to do it off to the side, this one off to the side so that it's not hitting all the other ones. But eventually, as all of us know, they're all going to come crashing down it, except for one. And so I with what that, whatever that analogy was, I think that what I mean to say, what I'm meaning to say here,
dominoes there, it's never happened, but
yeah, what I'm meaning to say here is just the reason I think that Drew never got any eyes is because Kelly, Bruce, Kendra understand the repercussions and Emily, of that vote. They understand at that point it's all hats, all gloves are off. And I think that before making a move like that, everybody wants to be a little more comfortable, a little more sure of what does this person have? What does this person not have? And also, the jury vote might have been a big factor in the vote. If Kelly thinks that if Kelly and Drew have a decent banter going on, or if Emily and Drew can bond over, you know, science, I don't know, like whatever they can bond over, that's one less reason to vote somebody like Drew out. And Kelly said with Seafood, the jury vote was too wild. Let's just make sure he's not on the jury at all.
Yeah.
That was really some forward thinking on the jury vote.
Sometimes you got to think that way. Are you ever going to get Sifu's vote? If you're not, why let him get there? Like, why?
I appreciate that. Like, I was Kelly. It's like, I mean, Kelly, that was all Kelly, man. I mean, I would have not even considered that. And then I forgot. Like, I was like, oh, one person makes it, one person doesn't.
Yeah. All right. Where are we at? Sammy, who do you have at five?
At five, I have Austin. I have Austin at five. And the reason I have Austin at five below Julian D is because although he has the power in the game, he has a ton of it too, advantage-wise. I have a good friend, James, who always said, it doesn't matter what you have if you don't know when you're supposed to use it.
Yeah.
Like, it does not matter. It does not matter. I could have seven idols, and if I don't use it on the one time I need it, I'm not – it doesn't matter. I'm done. And so I don't weigh his game too heavily on the amount of power he has potential with. I have him at five mostly because – I think that it would be in his best interest to, at some point in this game, shift away from Julie and D. I don't think that there's a winning situation in which he goes to the end with them, especially now, considering we heard Jake and Katura mention Austin's, you know, timidness in the game. Like, he's playing a little scared. And, like, Alexa, you mentioned, like, it's good that people don't know that. Like, it's good that people think that, because then they want to keep you around. But I'll tell you when it's not good is when you get to the very end. That is not good. You do not want people to think that you were playing scared and timid. And so I think that he is in a good position to be safe this week, but I do not think that he has winning power or, like, hierarchy above Julie and D. I do think he has it above everybody else that we're about to mention, but not Julie, D, Emily, or Kelly.
Well, and I think he can – he's got so much time left and so many things in his bag of tricks here that he's got plenty of time to turn it around, but he needs to realize to turn it around. And I think James's analogy is great, and it's the reason why none of us have Bruce yet, right? We're getting through our top half, and nobody has said Bruce, even though Bruce is one of the only people in the game with an idol, a full idol. But how would he know to play it this week? I feel like Bruce has actually had a pretty good read on things that are going on. He's known who's kind of talking behind his back. He's known who's – you know, ready to
go. He dialed it, dude. He dialed, like, with Kendra.
Yeah,
absolutely dialed that, dude.
Like, we didn't even know that she didn't like him until this episode. That was crazy.
That was crazy. Like, that was incredible. And that's what I'm saying. Okay, maybe he does understand, because maybe he sees where the weaknesses are and all that. But still, none of us are confident enough that he's going to play it. None of us. So I can't go forward with him. You know, I have to assume that he's still in danger of going home, because he hasn't been shown to be the most intelligent person on this season, even though his read of Kendra was ridiculously good. He's almost getting no credit for it. So I think James's point is great. That being said, at number five, I'm actually going to go with Kendra. And my reason is, she's the only one who gets off scot-free with the idol situation. She's the only one who can say she didn't know, and I honestly don't think she knew, but she wasn't on the tribe with Katara that could have possibly known. So from the Bello side of things, she's clean there. I also think that it's pretty obvious where a lot of stuff is at this point. Everybody on Reba knows that Austin has an idol. Pretty much everybody at this point knows that Bruce has an idol. So there's a lot of information out there. I don't think people are going to be worried that Kendra has an idol. And I also think if Reba decides, okay, we need to take out one of the Bellows, which obviously they would, because they're not going to take out one of their own, and I don't think they're going to take out Emily. Kendra is so low on that totem pole. Like, there is no way that they are going, okay, it's got to be her. I feel like Bruce is a bigger threat. I feel like Kelly might be a bigger threat. I feel like Jake at this point is absolutely a bigger threat, because Katara also isn't going to be happy with Jake. She's not going to be happy with a lot of people, but Jake was the one that told her all this information. So maybe that's going to hurt her more. Plus, Reba just watched Jake vote for them. Jake just voted for Julie, and he says at the tribal council, it was me, Julie, we'll talk. I think that Kendra is in the perfect spot to potentially pull a really random reference, Edna Ma, and be the last remaining person from a tribe that is just getting decimated because nobody's looking at her as a threat to win the game.
Yeah, that's a good call about Kendra. Like, I feel like the past few weeks I was like, I don't know who she's allied with. I think that puts her in trouble. But now she's the only person who hasn't bothered anyone, which is great for her.
Yeah.
Fair point.
Yeah.
Something to think about. We're going into the back half now. So I still have Emily on my board here. I've Drew on my board. Sammy, you have Drew on your board. Alexa's just spiting me and hasn't put D yet. She's just trying to make a point.
Alexa, what you haven't done five yet, have you? Did you have? Oh, you did them back to back, right?
I did five. D is my six, so there she is. I still think she's totally safe. That's really low, but there's not many people left. She's totally safe, but she, even though Caleb's gone, he threw her name out there, and she very publicly, and she, as I would have as well, didn't like it. And then, like, she's the one who kind of rallies the votes to get Caleb out. And Jake caught on to that. And so I think even if Jake doesn't have a lot of agency, her name was out there. And now Jake is like, well, now she's telling me what to do and she's getting what she wants, which is like can start a snowball of this person has a lot of power. They've got to go. That being said, she has a better, like, she has a better backdrop than anybody else. She can win immunity challenges. She has three extremely tight allies, but her name's coming up. So I got to put her there.
I do want to say too, with D's casting, I don't know when the last time we saw a Cuban player on the show was, because I don't remember if we've ever had anybody. I don't even know if we've ever had a Cuban player on the show, but living in South Florida and Alexa, like you and I both went to school down here, like Cubans have such a distinct personality. Like they're very like familial and like, you know, it's very like when she's talking about, I'm doing this for my family and that's all I'm thinking about while I'm up on that pole. But then she turns around and she's talking about her toes and she's joking and she got that fun personality. And then you piss her off and she literally says, because I'm Cuban, of course I have to be mad at him. The emotions are always on the sleeve. And the one thing I've talked about in this new era of Survivor is the more authentically you are yourself, the more it seems like it's worked in your favor. We've seen that with a lot of the winners, right? Marianne was Marianne the entire season. Erica, we didn't really get to know, but Gabler, I felt like was Gabler the entire season. I don't feel like anybody was shocked at the person that they were talking to every time. Jam Jam the entire season. Carolyn was herself the entire season, got her to third place. I think that like D is a phenomenal casting choice because she doesn't fit any of the archetypes that any of those other people hit. But she's kind of giving us a different story than we're used to from a Hispanic perspective. I think it's been a really fun storyline for Dee, and I'm enjoying watching her be like fully out there as I hate you because you brought my name up. I love you because you're my family. Like I love that it's 100. She's going 100% at emotionally at all times. So I agree with you though, Alexa. It could end up biting her in the ass.
She's awesome though. I love her. She's very captivating. I'm rooting for her.
Yeah. As far as like, she's one of top three favorite for me from the season. 100%.
Yeah, she's awesome.
Yeah. So, Sammy, who do you have at six then?
At six, I have Keturah. Wow. And the reason I have Keturah at six is evidence. Let me explain. In this game, it is very important to be able to look back on and explain yourself with evidence. Like I said before, you can use words as evidence, but the beauty of the game is that the one thing that has the most weight when we're talking about evidence is your vote. And what Keturah was able to do was show the Reba 4, which we've all said is the most powerful in the game right now, that at a crossroads, she's going to vote with them. She had a choice to take out one of the more powerful people in the alliance that may have benefited her game. When we were talking about Caleb's effect on Emily's game, effect on Keturah's game, Caleb had a pretty positive impact on Keturah's game, in my opinion. And yet she was able to cut him loose. And so I think that the Reba 4, they know Keturah's on their side. And that is a beautiful thing for Keturah. And not only that, but she was the one that was left out of this whole thing with the Bellows. Mm-hmm. She doesn't have any explaining to do. All that people have to do is explain to her.
Yeah.
I think that the backlash is going to fall upon Jake, and and now you're gonna have Kelly and Bruce and Jake and Kendra. Well, Kendra and Katara are gonna be able to bond over this situation of not knowing. And honestly, I think she's gonna have Kelly, Jake, and Bruce coming up to her this next week, and maybe not Bruce. Let's just be honest. But Kelly and Jake, at the very least, apologizing every second of every single day. And so I think she is in a – I actually think she's in – that's why I have her at six. I think she's in a pretty great spot after making it a tough vote.
That is such a good point. That might change where I have her. That's a really good call. Because the Bellas – I'm like, well, the Bellas are going to eat each other. Who's in trouble there? But we forget that there's four Rebas who are – locked in voting together, who are probably going to choose who goes home.
Yeah, I've been convinced. I really have, because I wasn't going to have Katara all that high. But it's a great point, because why would Reba want to vote out Katara at this point? She just proved she'd go with them over Jake and Caleb, who seemed like he was more in with the Bellows. That should have been a 3-3 split. That's the worst case scenario for the Rebas, and it didn't go that way. And if Katara goes back to Bello and is frustrated with them, and Reba sees that, and I think all of them are astute players, I think that they're going to see that and say, maybe we pull her in. And maybe now we have six, and we don't even have to worry about whether or not Emily's with us or not. Like, because you do need a sixth at this point. You have five. You need a sixth, assuming Emily's tight with you. So if you go get Katara, you might need to promise her that Bruce will be the vote out. But I think this is a really good point of, hey, Katara did what she had to do. She survived. And now she's kind of shown that she can be allied with that group. So yeah.
And at 10, I like it. Six is all you need.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's where, you know what? You convinced me. I'm gonna put Katara at six. So me and you both have Katara at the same spot Alexa has D.
I just I like bother you. Phil. Crazy.
It's bothering me. No, I like it though. That was a really good point, Sammy. I don't normally compliment people. You know, I don't do that. But you convinced me there. You really, really did. I was gonna have Katara at like 9 or 10. I'm not joking. Same. So
I'm glad I could convince you better than I could convince people to buy solar when I did solar sales, because I couldn't do that worth anything.
If Katara goes home next week, though, we're calling.
So you did a lot of stuff with extreme heat, huh, Sammy?
Oh gosh.
Yes. I wasn't involved.
Your dog is right outside.
The popular extreme heat, I wasn't involved in. I didn't feel the pain of that first one, but you know, yes, I did feel the pain of the walking around, whether it was walking around outside or, you know, getting people's sun to, you know, very, very, very touchy subject though.
Yeah. Okay. We'll move on. All right, Sammy, who do you have, since you convinced me on Katara at six? I still haven't even put Emily. So I'm going to put Emily at seven. I'm going to get that out of the way. And that's going to be it for the drama. So I have Emily at seven. Probably should have still put her ahead of a Katara, but I got so excited by Sammy's point that I ended up going that way instead.
Why do you have Emily so low? I'm curious.
Yeah, that's low.
Well, literally, you just convinced me not to put her at six. She was going to be my six, and then I moved her back to seven.
I think six is low too. So
yeah, the only reason that I have her so low is because the people I have in front of her, D, Austin, Julie, they are 100% in that Reba alliance, like 100%, and I think they're good. Kelly, I'm with you. I'm not going to go put money on the Cardinals to do anything good for the rest of history, but I really would be shocked if she went home. And then my reasoning on Kendra was just, I don't see her being targeted really in any way, shape, or form this week, because why would you go after the probably the lowest person on that ladder? She's not a threat to anybody, and I don't think Katara or anybody's going to want to go after her. So really, Emily's just kind of falling to this spot. But what this is really coming down to is, I think that there's three people who can go home this week, and they're the three that I have left. I don't see Emily going. Katara was actually going to be one of the three, but now I have to switch her with Bruce and say it would be Bruce. But Emily, the way she goes home is if Reba is telling her things and she's trying to play both sides and she goes and tells Bello stuff. And I don't think she will. But in the event that Austin and Drew, who is an open book, who doesn't stop telling the truth, if they go and they start telling Emily information, And then that information gets back to them in another way because she's now trying to play both sides and see if she can get something better over on Bello. Now, all of a sudden, everybody starts looking at Emily. I don't think it'll happen, but that is the way she goes home. Yeah. I don't see Kendra going, and you just convinced me it wouldn't be Katara. So that's why she's at seven. But really, I'm feeling pretty good about my top seven. It's Drew, Bruce, and Jake that I'm worried about this week. So
I have to agree with you. I'm glad that we can have this a similar outlook on my number seven, which is Drew. And okay. Now is where we get into my top seven are not people I think I'm in the point where my top six I'm pretty convinced is safe. Any of the next four people I name, I'd be surprised if it was Drew. But my last three, I would not be surprised because of just past things. But so Drew's at seven for me because of what you just said. You just said he's an open book and he's been so honest with everybody. And that will get you in such a great position and will get you such great allies like it's gotten him. But this is usually around the time where you start wishing you were a little bit more cutthroat. Mm-hmm. This is usually around the time where I think players start wishing. I mean, let's look back at Brenda. Brenda got a very respectable top six in her season. Very respectable. I mean, if you tell any Survivor player before the game, hey, do you want to go to top six? Do you want to be in the top six? They'd be like, yeah, of course. But then you told them, by the way, you're going to lose. You're going to get six. Yeah. They'd be like, oh, whoa, I don't want none of it. So I firmly believe that Drew is in a position where if I were to defecate and it were to hit the fan, like it can at this tribal, I wouldn't be surprised if we saw Drew get yoinked right out of there. If Austin ends up being safe, Julie and DR have lasers pointed at them, and then we have the Bello four that are all voting together as a block, and Emily decides, like you said, maybe something crazy happens. She flips. I think Drew is in a position where he could easily go home. And I actually have been really impressed with Drew's game to this point. This is no disrespect at all to the game he's played, because to have gotten this far and this, I think people need to stop counting out the cocky young person stereotype. Okay.
And hey, we did it to you.
Everybody,
you did. I had no problem.
Alexa was. No. Yeah, we could go back and sit their seats. I knew Alexa was on my side. I knew that.
I got you.
And I think it's very off-putting, like, watching people talk this way, especially with the way Drew explains things is so matter-of-factly. I think it's off-putting for a lot of people's, like, viewers and stuff. But he's clearly very socially aware. Otherwise, he wouldn't have this many stakes in this many camps with this many people. The problem is, where I don't think that keeps him safe this week, is I see Julie and D like this. Mm-hmm. And I know Austin and Drew are like this as well. But there's already a perception around Austin that Jake has already put the perception out about Austin. If he can't disarm D, why wouldn't he disarm Austin?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Good point.
I don't know.
And I'll get to Drew when I get to Drew. I really do. But I mean, Sammy, I'll just address this now. I was impressed you could convince people you were over 21 years old, because I feel like men get much more they get way different personalities once they are able to legally drink in bars. That's just my opinion. I really think that, because there's a difference between going to like a college party and you know, you're talking the way you talk at a college party. But once you actually go to a bar and you're there and there's 70-year-olds and 80-year-olds and 50-year-olds and 25-year-olds and 30-year-olds, you start to like really interact with a bunch of different people in a variety of different ways. And so I was working when your season aired, I was working at a university in sports information, and I was running the department. So all of my coworkers, air quotes, were students. I could tell immediately pretty much which ones were 21 and which ones were 18, 19, 20. So I'm impressed you pulled it off. But I, you know, Drew, I'm actually not giving Drew much flack here. I just think that Drew's in a little bit of trouble this week for one very specific reason, which I'll get to when I actually get to him. But that's two compliments, Sammy. So you better
take it. We're going to try to get to five by the end of this.
Alexa hasn't gotten five in 8 years of this podcast. So
never gotten that many compliments. All right, we're getting there.
Alexa, who's your seven?
Kendra is my seven. I think kind of like what I said earlier and sort of based off of what you said, Phil, like she doesn't really have any allies, but she really doesn't have any enemies. And she, who is it? She was working with Drew and Emily a little bit last week. So, or at least just like communicating with them. So there's clearly no like bad enough blood over the Brando loss, because I think she and Brando weren't that close. But I think there, we also haven't talked about this because it's probably not going to come to fruition, but there is a little blip of a girl's thing that might happen for like a whole second next week. I feel like Kendra would really get into that. And especially because the three girls on Bello were really into that at the very beginning for like 2 seconds. All that to be said, I don't think Kendra is particularly intimidating right now. She has done nothing wrong in the eyes of anyone except for Bruce, who does not have a lot of agency right now. Mm-hmm. And I think if Bruce is going to try to target one of his own, it would probably be Katara, because now she's coming for him even more with this idol.
So, I agree with you about Kendra. Like I said, I already have her. Sammy's still holding out. Sammy's still got Kendra in his bottom three here. But that's what the women's thing is, what scares me for Drew and Bruce and Jake this week. And that's why I have them as my bottom three. But it's also, it's a consideration, Alexa. I kind of forgot that was in the preview. But that could be a reason, too, why Emily becomes a little frightening this week, where Emily could find herself in a bad spot. Because if the women try to, we're going to do a women's alliance, I don't think G and Julie are actually going to be on board with it. But if Emily thinks they are, and so she starts playing both sides up with the women, that could end up hurting her, where it's like, where is her loyalty? Is she just going to flip over to Bello? But I think the women's thing is going to be a red herring, but we should still see a man go home this week, even if it's not because there's a woman's alliance. Although, yeah, I'm excited for the faces we're going to see from Kendra when they start talking about a women's thing, because I'm sure her eyeballs are going to pop out. Yeah. Where are we at? We're at eight. We're all on eight. Sammy, you want to do your eight first?
Yes, sir. I've got Kendra at eight. I think that I will just echo the same reasons Alexa said, to where you just don't have a ton of, you don't have a ton of things to look at with Kendra. Like, she doesn't have a lot of blood on her hands, but then you look at it, you're like, oh wow, she doesn't have a lot of blood on her hands. That's great. Mm-hmm. That's really great. Where I think that she could be in, fall into a little bit of trouble is how this idol thing plays out. How is this idol thing going to play out? Because we could sit here and talk about Bruce all day and like the fun that it's been to watch him kind of just tell people what to do and everything. But at the end of the day, they continue to defend Bruce.
Yep.
The Bellows continue to defend Bruce. Kelly, who I have all the way on number one, the most powerful player in this game, I believe, continues to defend Bruce and continues to say, I got to keep him. We got to keep him. And so I'm just looking at it from this perspective, to where I'm looking at everybody down the list, and tribal lines have been so clear this season. They have been clear as day with everybody except for Emily, really, to where you know who's with who and who's not with who. And I just look at everybody else that's left, and I look at the Bellows, who I believe a Bello will probably end up going home this next week. And I look at the group of Kelly, Bruce, Kendra, Jake, and I just look at Kendra as a sneakily easy vote for everybody to corral on top of, for the reasons that Alexa shared earlier, where damned if you do, damned if you don't, like not much hasn't really had much of an impact on our game.
Yeah, Kendra's probably the hardest one out of this entire cast to really
figure out
what's going on with, because I feel like we've all had very sound reasons for everyone, and none of us can really speak to Kendra's place in the game.
You just feel that, like, it's like a weird feeling of like, and I'm sure it's probably frustrating for Kendra to hear, maybe, but it's like, I hope what she can understand is that it's like, we're just not getting the full story of something. And maybe here's something I could point to, is that I don't know how thrilled Jake will be that she was going after Bruce when Kelly ends up telling Jake about that. And I don't know how, I don't know if maybe Kelly was having some kind of conversations with Bruce after he expressed his concern for Kendra coming after him. Kelly could have in some way or another confirmed that with Bruce, which would only raise Kendra's threat level. So I agree. Yeah. It's like a weird,
like, she's the one I can't figure out. I can't figure out what to do with her.
We don't have evidence. I love evidence.
There it is. Evidence. Have you ever seen, Sammy, it's way before your time, but have you ever seen the movie Miller's Crossing? I don't know if you're a Coen Brothers fan, but have you ever seen
Miller's Crossing? No, I have not seen it.
You should just watch the ethics scene of that movie where the guy says ethics about 9,000 times the way you're saying evidence right now. He just keeps saying ethics. And it's like this bald guy with a mustache, ethics. And he just keeps talking about that. You should check that scene out.
Yeah. Sounds like I'll like
it. Yeah, it's quite fun. But so Alexa, who do you have at 8 then?
Okay, I am actually going to put Jake at 8. So I think Jake is in a lot of trouble, but I also think, sorry, there's something going on in front of me. I think Jake is in a lot of trouble, but at the same time, he tried to make a big move and he swung and he missed. And Julie is probably going to be a little bit mad at him, but I think he almost disarmed. This isn't his own fault, but like he is now disarmed. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have a lot of agency and he's about to go back to an even more broken alliance. So he's sort of lost. And I think if your option is someone who's like, we like, and doesn't have a lot of agency versus someone who a lot of people don't like, who has an idol, I would vote for Bruce in that situation instead of Jake. I still think Jake is in a lot of trouble, but I don't think he's in as much trouble as Bruce is.
Yeah. I also have Jake at 8. And Alexa, you and I have him higher than Sammy. We don't know by how much, and Sammy will let you go last. So don't say yours. Yeah, we got to save the best for last here. But the reason I have Jake at 8, I think that this was a bad moment for him, right? Like this vote not going his way when he thought he had Keturah, he thought that he was going to be able to kind of lie, cheat, and steal through this game and get some agency. But really, he didn't. He forgot that people have emotions. And if you lie to somebody and they find out, no matter how cool you are, no matter how much of a friend you might be, they're going to be hurt by it for at least a little bit. And he got to witness that firsthand this time. So I think this hurts him. But I also think that Jake is not somebody that everyone's going to get behind voting out. They're going to see him as conniving. They're going to see him as ready to play the game and all that. But Bruce is still top of mind for Keturah and for Kelly and for Kendra. And we have seen, you know, Kelly defend Bruce and say, this isn't the right time. This isn't the right time. But she's also saying the worst part of her game is playing with Bruce. Those are strong statements.
Yeah.
So I think that Bruce would still be who they would go for. And if they can go for somebody on the other side, I think they would go for, you know, Drew, who I have down here in the bottom two, which I'll get to. But if Reba's going for somebody on blue and they still need to convince one person to vote with them, the person they're going to vote for is Bruce. Because the easiest one to get on your side there is Keturah and say, we will vote Bruce, even though the rest of your tribe won't do it. They don't respect you enough to do it. Come with us. We'll do it. It's a great power play. And they all sit down and vote for Bruce. They don't vote for Jake. So that's why I have Bruce. I'm sorry. That's why I have Jake at number 8 and I have Bruce and Drew both behind him, but I'll talk about that in a second. Alex, I don't know if you want to say anything else with Jake there.
No, I think that was good. I have my last two, but I don't know if everyone's in the same spot as me.
We're all in the same spot. So Sammy, you're going to go last. I will go first because mine's going to be the, you know, hold on, hot take, but I have Bruce at 9 and Drew at 10. And here is why my reasoning for that is happening. I think that based on what I saw last week from Bruce, he could feel that the tides were turning. Kendra wants him out of the game. All it takes is one vote and he's out of the game. He knows Keturah doesn't like him. He's going to be going back to a camp where Jake is going to be getting absolutely roasted, right? Like Jake is going to be getting destroyed the night after this tribal, I think for sure. Yeah. And so I think that Bruce is going to be the target of the Reba 4 plus Emily. And I also think Keturah is going to be on board with that. Like, this, maybe I'm playing too much fan fiction in my head, but I think that's the way it's going to go. I think everybody is ready to vote Bruce out of this game. Everybody. Reba doesn't care who it is. They just want a blue out. But Bello is ready to vote Bruce out of the game with the exception of Jake. So I think a lot of votes are going to Bruce this week. So I'm putting him at 9. But the reason I don't put him at last is because he has an idol, and I really do think he has a good read on the people he's on the island with. Well, who does that leave going home? I think it's going to be Drew. And I think that if you end up in a situation where Bruce plays an idol, Drew he can't leave Tribal Council after an idol is played. So I think that's where it scares me right now. Drew doesn't actually have that much protection. Now, maybe my logic is wrong here because, if Bruce plays his idol, he's probably going to vote for Keturah or something like that because that's what he's going to want to do. But my thinking is Bruce is a smart player, and whoever maybe he can keep on his side for this, or if Bello decides, hey, let's go one more vote and let's vote for Reba and Keturah will do it with us, and then Keturah doesn't vote with them, so Bruce plays his idol, I feel like they target Drew. I think like you said earlier, Sammy, they are not scared of how weakly Austin is playing. They think he's playing scared. They're worried about D, and they're not worried about Mama J. So it's D or Drew. I think Drew ends up winning out in that situation, and he has his advantage is not useful after an idol gets played. I don't think Drew actually would get 8 votes. I don't think he gets the majority of votes, but I think the majority of votes this week are going on Bruce. And I've been trying to figure out who does that mean will go home if Bruce plays his idol. Maybe Bruce just doesn't play his idol. Maybe Bruce just goes home. But I can't put a person with an idol at 10 in final 10. I have to put somebody else. So I'm going to go with Drew. And I'm going to say that he just gets got this week. And he realizes it's too late and there's nothing he can do because he wants to stay there and vote with everybody to show allegiance, to make sure that they have the numbers. But after they vote and an idol gets played, he has no way of escaping. He is stuck at Tribal Council.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one. I like that.
You both smiled, so I don't know if that was good or bad, but you both smiled. As long as I can make people smile, right? That's all I'm
here. Knows,
that's so beautiful, Phil. Yeah, no, that is a really good point about Drew, because you guys both have him really low and I had him a lot higher. I think, like, as strong as this Reba 4 is, there's still 4 against 10. So that if that group can, like, put their differences aside, they can totally take down someone from the group of 4. So I'm totally with you there. I totally switched. So I was going to move Keturah like up after your speech, Sammy, and now she's in my bottom two. So I'm sorry. I have Keturah at 9. So I think I still think she's in a lot of trouble because the Reba tribe isn't necessarily like indebted to her. I don't know if they'll see it that way. And Bello now has someone who they're sort of exposed, but that doesn't mean that she has a move. She doesn't really have a place that she can go. Unless, you know, Reba and Emily wholeheartedly take her in, which this is more of a fault of the construct of the game, but like there just hasn't been much time for her to develop much of a relationship with them. And I think that's something that's like kind of hard to quantify. But that being said, I think Bruce probably will go home. I think like what will save him from an edit perspective is that it seems like it is Kelly's decision when Bruce goes home. And it would be very weird if he went home the night after she said that she wasn't ready to lose him. But I think her hands might be tied because she's going to have a lot of people who really don't want to play with him. His idol is now public, which I think could make him like want to play it more, or it just is going to come up more. But I think ultimately this could be his week.
I actually think, Alexa, too, the fact that his idol is public is a really good point, because sometimes when people's idols are public and they feel like people are going to come for them anyway, even if they don't think they're going to get the majority of the votes, they say, you know what? Everybody knows I have it. I'm just going to get rid of it. And I could see Bruce doing that this week if he feels like he might get 4 or 5 votes, because now he's concerned that all it takes is one person to flip or one person who's not actually voted. There's so many variables in this game. So that's a good point too.
Bruce, if you're listening, I'm sorry. I love you, but gotta do it.
But get out.
It's a game.
Well, now Sammy's bottom two. You got Jake and Bruce. Who you putting at 9? Who you putting at 10?
Well, I just want to say I smiled when you spoke about Drew because I could see that happening with the chaos of everything that we think this is going to go this way and it's going to go completely sideways. I want to say before I put my 9-10, I genuinely want to reiterate. I think 7, 8, 9, and 10. I think they're on the same level of. I think they're in the same level of trouble, honestly, and I think we will know within. I think within the first 10 minutes of the episode, I will be able to switch out Drew and Jake. I have Jake at number 9.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think within the first 10 minutes of the episode, once I'm able to see the damage control that Jake is able to do, I would confidently throw Jake 2 spots above everybody else, just under Katara. I would confidently do that because I believe Drew is in the same danger as you do, Phil. And the reason I have Jake 9, though, is let's say he doesn't go back and it's not received very well that he was not on the same side as Katara.
Mm-hmm.
He's now in a spot where D doesn't appreciate being lied to.
Uh-huh.
Julie does not appreciate receiving a vote. Austin has his hands tied and probably thinks Jake is a cool dude, but these are my people and we probably should have talked a little bit more.
Uh-huh.
Because what Jake does have going for him is that nobody saw the confessional of him calling Austin scared or anything like that. If Austin knew that, then I think Jake is he's number 15. He's gone. He's done. But he's not going to know all that. So I think Jake's personality can do so much for him here. And totally. I think people being able to – I think that Jake making this move as opposed to a different player that's not quite as lovable or charismatic or, you know, hilarious – I think Julie's going to be able to understand a little bit more, which obviously leaves Bruce at 10 for me. And I agree, Phil. I mean, obviously, if he plays this idol and he has this awareness that he's been having, which just because he's at 10 for the least likely, like, you know, most likely to go home, does not mean that he's at 10 for social awareness. I mean,
yeah,
he may not be socially aware of when he's bugging people, but he's very socially aware of when somebody is not on his side. And that is something that is very valuable, especially when you have an idol. That's literally the only skill that you need when you have an idol is to know, does this person like me or does this person not like me? And all Bruce has to do is do that with 8 other people. Not even 8. I mean, let's do it with 5 people. Yeah. If Bruce decides that 5 people are not going to vote the way that he wants them to vote, that thing's going out. That thing's going to get played. And I am a firm believer in that if Bruce plays his idol, I don't think any of Bella are going home. I think one of Reba is gone. I firmly believe that. Like, don't let the power rankings fool you. Don't let Jake being at 9. Don't just go back up the list and be like, okay, well, let's – I'm telling you, man, something funky might go on. But I have Bruce at 10 because even his number one ally says the biggest – caveat in her game is working with him, and if he does not play the idol that he has, I think he's in trouble.
Yeah, so for all the Kelly stands out there, I think she will be, even though I was the only one who didn't put her at number one, I think she will be the most important person in this episode. And the reason is, if they're going for Bruce, it will be the sole responsibility of Kelly to make Bruce feel comfortable so he doesn't play his idol. Jake is on the outs. Jake is not going to be able to be the guy. I don't think they're going to give Jake much information this week. But Kelly will have to be the one who is going to be getting – look, the 3 women from that starting tribe, clearly Bruce has been a hot topic of we don't like him. That has been a hot topic. So they're going to come to Kelly. Katara and Kendra are going to come to Kelly. And it is just going to be up to Kelly to be able to keep Bruce calm. But also – where I think that, like, it could hurt Kelly is if they really do want to vote Bruce out of this game, you are willingly giving up numbers and putting Emily in the swing position, which is why I think if Bruce is going to get most of the votes, I could see Kelly voting for one of the Rebas and convincing Bruce it is one of the Rebas. And that's how one of the Rebas go home if Bruce plays his idol, where Kelly's in a win-win there. Because if she loses Bruce, everybody on her tribe is happy, even though that doesn't help her numbers. But if Bruce plays his idol, she needs to make sure it's a Reba who goes home. Because if it's a different Bello that goes home, Kelly's drawn dead in the water. She's not going to win this season. So I think she's the most important person this episode.
Absolutely.
I think an important point to make before we close it out is like simply the fact that like obviously most of us have Bruce like bottom two. Like I said, if I think no idol involved, I don't know that there's a chance that he doesn't go home. Mm-hmm. But I will say that in a season that is full of astute players that are thinking three steps ahead, it seems like, I don't know that the easy vote here, which is obviously Bruce, is going to happen. Yeah. Because in a season in which people couldn't control their emotions as well, or I think that Kelly has shown time and time again, okay, I'm going to just – he's bugging the absolute ever-living piss out of me. Like, I can't stand and be around him anymore. But it's better for me. And I think that they've been able to make those sacrifices so far. So I'm excited. Mm-hmm. I'm excited. I don't know what's going to happen. I have no idea what's going to happen.
Sammy, who's going to win? Who's going to win right now, today?
If I had to pick right now who wins this game, I'd probably say – oh man, I'd probably say Kelly. D is right under Kelly though.
We're about to say both names.
It's right here.
Like I think it was so fitting. Like the two women that won immunity. Like I saw that. Like when they're going back and forth between the two of them. I think we were looking at one of our winners right there, man. That's what I think.
That would make for a good like showdown. So like,
you guys have the same thing. You guys have the same.
I feel pretty similarly. Yeah, I was thinking Austin, but I think I'm a little like biased. The like Austin's playing scared kind of thing. But and Emily. I would love for Emily to win. I don't know if she has the path, but I would love it if Emily won.
I wouldn't be surprised by that. I wouldn't be surprised by. That's the thing that's great about this to me. Like the season is
totally
outside of, for no reason, I shouldn't even name names. I'm not going to name names.
There's a few people I don't think Bruce will win.
I don't think Bruce is going to win. I don't think Kendra has – I don't think Kendra or Bruce have a path to the end of the win. Bruce, obviously, because of the way – I don't know. If he can survive that long, I would give him any vote he wants. Mm-hmm, if he can make it to the final three, I will give him whatever he wants. Kendra, I just don't think she has enough relationships to gain votes at the end should she make it there. Outside of those two, and maybe Drew, because I think Drew's path to the end in a winning circumstance would have him cutting everybody off that he's so close with. Outside of them, I don't see how anybody doesn't win. I could see anybody. There's a winning scenario for everybody. And even those that I just mentioned, it only takes one episode, guys. Takes one episode. What if Kelly gets voted out? Kelly's voted out. I'm putting $5,000 on money line for Cardinals.
We can't have that.
I'm on my camera unplugged, so I'm still here. But we go. $5,000. Wait, it went from $5,000 on money line before it was $5,000 to win the Super Bowl. You got to put all your money on the Super Bowl win, not just the money line. Goodness. Next week,
here's the deal.
They play some scrub team. Next week, Arizona plays Houston. I mean, Houston's coming off a big win. They're going to win that game. Come on.
Yeah, Houston. That's the thing. I mean, I'm talking about Super Bowl money line, Phil.
Yeah, there you go.
Come on, man.
We need for anybody who bets like Super Bowl futures exact results. We need the Sammy special of Cardinals over some AFC team, and whatever those odds are, everybody can go bet $1, and you would probably win. I don't know. $100,000 if it happened. If you bet that one,
we as the Sammy specials, because I know there's people out there that would bet with me. We would appreciate if instead of the money, we will just receive a all blacked out Tesla.
There you go. That's all.
Close the loop there on the Tesla.
I like that. That's good. All right, Sammy. Well, we appreciate awesome you coming on. This was a whole lot of fun. I'm glad we were able to finally make it happen, and we got to see you up in. up in New York at the Bryson Wen event. So that was pleasant. We got to talk to you there, and he just froze. Is he back? Is
my cat? Oh, I'm here, but I guess my camera.
Oh, that's a nice.
Decided I'm not. So it's nice little thing to freeze on, you know? Yeah, I got a little beach going on here.
I like it.
I appreciate you guys having me on as well. It was a lot of fun. And, you know, I'm excited because I'm at the edge of my seat, at the edge of my pants with this season, man.
Such a good season. Sammy's awesome talking to you. We've been wanting to chat with you for a while, so it's awesome to have you.
It's been an honor, guys. Let's see what goes on. I'll be in your guys' DMs if I was right about this week.
Hey, if Drew goes home, I expect a well done, Phil. That's all I want.
I'll give you a compliment. I'll give you a compliment.
There you go. Make up for the two nonsense that I had to give you. Alexa, take us home.
Tune in Wednesday, little after 9:30 Eastern time. Phil and I are going to be live right after the episode. I don't know if it's Bruce, Kendra, Katora, Jake,
Drew.
Who was Drew? Oh yeah, Drew. You gave this whole speech and I couldn't even remember who it was. Tune in. Become a patron, patreon.com/survivorspecialist. Phil and I are going to record our patron podcast probably sooner just because of Thanksgiving. We'll have a little more downtime, so stay tuned for that. We have a lot of good stuff coming, so tune in. Sammy, again, thanks so much for coming on. And have fun on the beach.
Yeah, that is.
You know, man, I'm just gonna run nude and have some fun.
Yeah, love dang, that. And now the camera doesn't work.
Now it's off.
The modeling career is about to take off. All right,
right.
Forgot about all right, that. Y'all.
All right, I'm heading.